Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast, no soft intro. It's the podcast where we talk about PC games. It is Robert Digital, Ender's Logic, and Flopsy.
Hey.
What's going on? Want to start this week again with pulling back the curtain on what goes on about how we do all the magic that you guys comes through your ear holes. So, real quick, was how we do... Like, how we come up with our information. Not that it's, you know, we're just reading the same articles that are out there. But we naturally gravitate towards what we enjoy or whatever. And we don't tell each other about what we're going to bring up during the podcast. So when I bring up a game, maybe Bobby and Chad haven't heard about it. Like, it's not made up, their intrigue about what I'm talking about. I intentionally don't tell them about what I'm talking about so that they'll have natural questions that their listener might also. So that you guys feel that you're part of the conversation. And that's what we're going for. So that's why we're doing that. And that I'll stop because I got a little bit sappy last week.
Yeah, you did.
We have to actively avoid conversation with each other about games sometimes during the week because we want to save it for the podcast, which is awkward.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Especially like right before the podcast, that's when it's the weirdest.
Yeah.
It's like, just put the fucking thing in the hole. connect everything. Okay, fine.
Well, you want to talk about it when it's fresh. You know, right, that's a natural reaction. But it's definitely best. I feel like it's kind of like a book club we have here, you know? It's like we all get together and we just talk about what we've been doing for the week, you know, the games we've been playing, the fun we've been having.
But again, it's odd because we've been having fun mostly together, on games together, mm-hmm. you know, and we have to refrain from talking about what we're doing. It's tough.
Except we couldn't get Bobby to play too much this week with Valentine's Day and all.
Yeah.
As the only one in a relationship right now.
Oh, well.
The greatest thing against leveling up is pussy. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
It is.
Tough call. Dude, this was the week of betas for me. I signed up and got accepted into 3 betas this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, the first one was Dawnstar, which...
Dawn Gate.
Wow. Okay.
It's high class.
Well, I have no idea what that game is.
I love that game. I think, will be the next... I don't want to say League of Legends because League of Legends has their own following, but I think it will overtake as this... Well, hold on. Dota 2 has their own thing. I think League of Legends, Dota 2, and then Dawngate, I think those will all fight. They got EA's backing with it, so I think it...
As the prettiest.
It is the prettiest.
Let's get into it.
Well, it's a top-down
or
MOBA.
Or should we wait till next week?
Well, I don't know anything about it. I know that it's a top-down MOBA, and you guys said that it has really good graphics, and that's all I know about it.
I wouldn't say really good graphics. I'm just saying it's the prettiest of all the... Choices.
It's pretty, and it's very fluid. Like, you don't feel... It doesn't feel chunky. It doesn't feel like there's latency. You do an action, it responds, it does it. So I think in that respect, and that's what you really want in a MOBA. Like you want your actions to immediately come out on screen, and that one really has that. It does a unique table layout where it's only 2 lanes instead of 3. So it expects you to be jungling. It expects you to do two duo lanes and a jungler.
Is it 5 versus 5?
It's 5v5.
Okay.
Now, what Chad was explaining to me today, and this is the way I understood it, so I think I'll maybe shed some light, is that your roles, you can play whatever player you want, but the way you get your gold is, the way you farm, basically, is you can pick the way you farm. So you could get, like, carry gold, where you're getting all the last hits. You can get support gold, where you're getting just residual from your carry. Or you could get jungle gold, where you get from ganks, correct?
Yeah, so...
Yeah. With any character.
You can choose from... Once you select your character, then you can again choose your role with that character. So they've got 4 different roles. So they've got an assassin, which gives bonus golden XP on kills or assists. They've got an initiator. I forget what it's called. But that one basically will...
Like a tank?
No, it gives you bonus gold when you harass the opponent, and then also gives you the same amount of gold as if you did last hits. So it's there for support.
It sounds like a very complex game.
It is, but at the same time, it gives you choices. It doesn't say, like in Smite, you're Ymir, so you're a tank, and you're going as tank. You could play Ymir and put him in the carry role, and then it would work with that in a certain respect. Now, granted, some of the characters are better suited for certain roles or other roles, but it allows You're not as tied down as much. You get more options.
Now, are either of you in the beta as well?
I am, and
yes, he's been playing for.
Yeah, oh, okay. I play all the time,
and I just signed up today. But being Mexican, most likely I'll be excluded.
No, they need to get that.
Although I put myself down as a press because we have this going. I was like, "Fuck it, what are they going to research me? What's the worst that could happen?"
I feel like that's that lessens your chances of getting in if you're press or you work in the industry.
You think so?
I would think so because they
seem like they get the first taste of everything, though. No,
I would think that maybe it. It comes, like, they think it's more probable that you'll violate NDA or something like that. I don't know.
We'll see. This is my first things. Yeah. I click the press button. We'll see what happens.
Well, I guess, I don't know if I'm going to be playing a lot of that this week. We'll see. Because I got those other betas going on. The other one, the second one is Wildstar, which is an MMO. Got it from NCSoft, which I think I signed up for Guild Wars 1. You have to have an NCSoft account. And it looks... I've seen some gameplay footage. It looks fun. It looks like cartoonish animated. It looks kind of like the level I saw them playing. It looks
sci-fi
like
WoW.
Yeah, kind of like sci-fi WoW. Like they're going through a dungeon. I really like the targeting reticules on this too. Like if they were going to do an ability, it would either be like... It was like Smite. You'd see a long line in front of you that was like your hitbox. Or you'd see like a cone. I thought that was pretty
Which
cool.
Which is kind of what ESO was doing, but that was only for them. Like they got the cones. The NPCs would get the cone and the straight. And you could dodge out of the way. But in this game, it seems like you're part of it.
It's the other way
around. What's really cool about Dawnstar is... Wildstar. Too many stars. was that when you do things for your guild gets buffs. Hmm. Like, the better you do for yourself, you're getting points for your guild, and those guild points can be spent guild-wide. And everybody gets this buff.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I thought it was a really cool idea.
So it's kind of like a group mentality going on there.
Yeah,
now,
for sure.
Now, is this one of those only open for the weekend? This is a beta for this week, but only once this month?
I don't think so.
Or is this just available and open, and you can play it anytime you want?
It's not open. It's closed, but I think it'd be pretty easy. If you go to NCSoft and sign up for it, I got a key pretty quickly.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, I think I already have it
3 months ago.
Really? Yeah. I had an NCSoft account, so they just sent it to me. I got it out of nowhere.
You know what?
Racism.
You know what I think it is? Is his juiced-ass rig. You know, because when you sign up, a lot of times they ask for your rig setup. They probably want to see it. I mean,
or
they've already seen enough hamsters on the wheels for your machine.
Or,
so they don't need any
or
more
any
of
name that ends with Z is automatically put out.
That's true.
I mean, come on. How easy would that be to implement?
So that's two. What's the third one?
So Dawngate, Wildstar, and here's the good news and the bad news. Signed up and got into the Titanfall beta.
That's cool.
That's the good news. The bad news is it's for fucking Xbox One. They don't have the PC.
So you told me that, and I signed up today, mm-hmm. and there was a PC option. So I clicked on the PC option.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I did the wrong thing then, because I went back and I kind of researched it. I was like, Titanfall beta PC. And they're like, Titanfall beta is open for Xbox, PC coming soon. So I don't know if the code that
How long ago did you do that? Because today I did it. Like, literally 6 hours ago.
Maybe it's open for Xbox now, and then when PC becomes available, it's
I can
also,
use the same code. So I'll hang on to the code, and we'll see what happens. But, hopefully that's the case. Because I really do want to check that one out. That'll be cool.
And I'm guessing you don't have an Xbox One.
No.
So talking about Titanfall, remember like 2 weeks ago we were shitting on the whole 6v6, I think is what it is?
Yeah, 6v6.
So we've been playing...
We should probably explain what the V means. That means versus.
Who's listening to this? At this point, who's listening to this? At this point, if you don't know what V is, you're in trouble. Okay, so anyway, it's versus. So 6v6, I was like, oh my God, that's terrible, because I'm so used to like playing TF2 where it's 16 on 16, 32 versus 32, and that's a lot of fun, you know? And I was like, a bunch of giant mechs. I mean, that's all I'm waiting for. You know, I can't wait for like 10 mech, but I've been playing Loadout a lot. That's all I've been playing since even last episode where I said all I was playing was Loadout. And they're 4v4, am I right?
Yeah.
4v4. 4v4.
Yeah.
And it keeps you together. We talked about this last week, but it keeps you together and you kind of learn the other opponents. And I'm having so much fun with this game.
It would take away, I think, if it was more than 4v4, I think.
It might. It would take the... it's shitty to throw this right word around for gaming, but intimacy.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of intimacy, mm-hmm. you know? And then when you see, like, the best dude leave, you're like, oh, shit, he left. Nice.
Cool. Yeah. yeah.
Or, fuck, that guy's got the best gun ever. If he dies, I'm going to pick up his gun.
Yeah.
You know? That shit goes out the window if you're just going 32 on 32.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you get to know who you're playing with and against, and also it's easier with matchmaking. Like, you queue up for Loadout and you're in a game like that, you know, like real quick.
Yeah, have I talked to you guys about Modern Warfare versus Battlefield? Like, people always say, which one are you? Are you a Battlefield player or a Modern Warfare right. player? A Call of Duty or Battlefield? And I don't look that way. I think... you either want to have a quick pick-up and play, so you're going to play a Modern Warfare game, or you're going to want to have a long, engaged time, and you're going to play a Battlefield. Like, they just are different, almost different genres at this point. Like, they're both first-person shooters, but one is like a tactical warfare, objective-based, and one is a deathmatch, pick-up right. and play, shoot the guy in the face, and Loadout definitely falls in that class,
right.
and it looks like Titanfall is as well.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Titanfall was made from the guys who made Call of Duty.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's probably what we're looking at.
I don't know if that guarantees that it's going to be like that, though, because with all these NPCs, I think they're going to pose not a huge threat, but a significant threat. Like, I see if I'm running up against a guy and he's got, like, two or three of his NPCs, I'll reconsider going into that fight with him. Even though it's technically one versus one, if he's got an NPC or two there, then he'll have a significant advantage over me. So I think that one might have a little bit more of a tactical sense to it, but it's all conjecture at this point. Until you sit down and play the game, I have no idea what it's going to be like.
So if we're still talking about betas a little bit, I want to bring up, I got into the EverQuest Next Landmark Alpha, Beta, something like that. Alpha. It's the Alpha.
Super early alpha.
Yes.
And they let you know, right?
Yes. So
I was there while you loaded it up.
So you can only get in right now if you join the $100 Founders Pack right now, mm-hmm. Which I haven't done, but I was able to finagle my way into getting one of these. So when you go into this thing, the first thing that pops up is the game director, and he talks to you and says, you know, hey, this is an early alpha. Here's how you can help. Here's what we want you to do. Here's what alpha even means, and here's how to like start off and play the game.
Which is the synopsis of what he said.
Okay,
really quick.
Well, basically the game is. I bring this up every week because every game seems to do this now, but it's a Minecraft like game where you can dig and farm and craft. So there's no monsters in this game. You can't do PvP, there's no even attacking, you don't have weapons. All you have is an axe to chop down trees, or a pickaxe to mine. And so basically, he says, you know, you go in and you start, and you want to mine, and you start building stuff. But in order to build bigger things, you need to build like a foundry, or a sawmill. So you start there, and you also have this like claim flag, so you get to claim a piece of property. And it gives you this like big rectangle in the ground, and nobody else can claim that area.
You have special abilities within there, right?
Exactly.
Building abilities.
Yeah, and you can like change the terrain. You can. It's got a lot of detail into it.
Now, for early alpha, and we both agreed on this, it looks great.
Yeah.
The animations are spot on.
Yes.
And just to attest to how, I know it's early alpha and all that, but. I haven't seen Chad stay up till like 2:30 a.m. in a while, and I think he did it two nights in a row.
Yeah, without creatures.
Without creatures.
Like there are no fighting. This is all. And I'm not a Minecraft guy.
By the way, I'm watching him play. Like for a lot of the time, it's very intriguing. And it wasn't because this is EverQuest. No, it's intriguing. Well, maybe there was a little bit initially, but it is intriguing.
Yeah.
Like he's mining, and there's maybe strategy to how you mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like land deformation, right? So if you're, you can mine anywhere. You look down, you use the pickaxe, and it starts digging holes. And it like deforms the land as you do it. But there's veins in the ground. So you can see just like a hint of maybe an iron deposit. So you start mining it, and you're going into the ground, and soon you're underground, and like you almost can't get out because you've gone in that far. And then at the end, there's like this silver deposit, and that's really what you're looking for at the level.
But maybe you can't mine silver yet.
Yeah.
So you have to go get this other thing to make this better pickaxe so that you can mine silver.
Yeah.
And then the veins, and this is how it works in real life as well, is some minerals will lead into another mineral. And that's the only way to get it. So you can't see, like, what's iron? No, silver. You can't see on the on the surface of the world. Hmm. But you know that silver always grows under
iron.
Yeah. Iron.
Yeah.
So, but he had to learn all this on his own. You didn't look this up. There's nobody playing. You know, there's not a lot of forums yet. So he saw the iron on the ground.
Yeah.
Started digging. Knew that it's probably, not always, going to lead into a silver deposit. Like, there's a game going on. For sure. Yeah. And then you bring all that shit back and build more stuff, and your house is getting prettier and prettier.
Yeah. And event, like, you can build it, they've got different shapes that you can build in, different materials that you can build in. And so the idea, I believe, is that you can start making objects and then turn around and sell them in the real game. Hey, this is a hut pre-made, and I can turn around and put that up on the store in the main game and then sell that.
So these are going to be sold in-game for microtransactions.
You can create things to then sell to other players.
I think
players.
We're talking maybe 5% of the people are actually going to do that.
But what I did...
You can bring it into your own game for free, probably, though.
Will Landmark continue to be a game once EverQuest comes
That's
out?
That's the questionable one, man. That's the big question.
So the game is going to be called EverQuest Next. This one is called EverQuest Next Landmark. So... The landmark portion, I believe, is just the crafting and the digging and the exploration.
Which is a game in itself.
Yes. But the EverQuest Next is the one that's going to have the creatures and the leveling up and the XP and all that stuff.
Now, when you said that you had to go to the other islands, this is when I stopped watching you play. What's up with the other islands?
So, you start off at a portal hub, and it's like a giant portal, and then you run out and stake your claim. But what I didn't realize is that there is... literally 50 of these different islands that all are connected by these portal hubs. And each island is either a tier 1, a tier 2, and a tier 3. So a tier 1 has the basic materials where I was digging. But if you wanted the higher level materials, you had to go to a higher level tier. So learning this all out organically, I went back to the portal and went to a tier 3. I got in the tier 3... and there's castles being built, like huge structures. And, you know, I was like, I was proud of my little furnace and wood making place with a flat plane that they're all standing on. And these people have like, you know, all sorts of, they've got spires and trellises and all sorts of crazy things.
Can they work together to build something or is it individual?
You can give people... access to your land, and they can they have the same magic powers within there.
So as you're playing this game, you're running into other people. You can communicate with them, I'm assuming. So it's kind of like
was only emoting to each other, but there is a chat functionality. Hmm. So I'm sure you can.
From what I extrapolated from watching him, it looked like they're all busy little bees. There's no like, why would you? You can't trade. I don't think.
I don't think you can trade. There's fight.
Hey, how's it going? I gotta go find my.
Yeah, there's no reason to communicate with other people. Yeah. But if you were to be playing this game with some of your friends, then you would be able to group up and work on a single project.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
It felt to me
even now
like kind of how Rust felt, only without the danger. There was no danger whatsoever.
Right. Like not even rabbits.
There was nothing. No chance of starvation. You can jump off the highest point and not take fall damage.
Now you would think that the level 3 ones are going to be harder to get that shit later. So maybe they'll put monsters, but you can't fight them.
Yeah. That would make it an MMO. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm thinking that's probably what they're going for.
Well, being that this is an alpha, have you noticed any problems with the game? Any bugs?
Not. I mean, they even have soundtracks going while you play. Like, it feels... There was some lighting issues. Like, it would go day, night sometimes. But other than that, the graphics looked good. The
really good.
The gameplay, the way the deformation worked of the land.
It's extremely pretty.
Yeah.
Did you think it was intuitive? No, not totally. Right?
Not.
If, I saw you going through menus.
If the video didn't start us off at the beginning and explain a couple of things, it definitely wouldn't have. But that obviously they're going to put in things.
So watch
later.
The video, folks. If you
if you get in, definitely watch the video. But both Emilio and I, we're EverQuest guys. Like that's how we got into MMOs.
For sure.
So we were excited about EverQuest 2 before that fell down flat. And we're again excited for EverQuest next. Maybe without reason, but you know we're EverQuest guys. So
I've seen enough to maintain my excitement, I would say.
I agree.
Do we have a date on EverQuest next yet, or is that still...
I think it's late 2014. I think I heard November 2014.
But they did say 2014, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Yeah. I can live with that.
Yeah. Hmm. How about you, Bobby? Are you interested in at all about EverQuest next?
You know, I never played EverQuest. MMOs. Pussy. I know, right? WoW was the first MMO.
WoW was your first one?
Yeah, definitely. WoW was...
I have a theory about MMOs. The first one you played... You liken everything else, no matter how many more you play, you liken it back to the first one you played.
Yeah.
And so EverQuest was my first one. It was hard. You could get de-leveled when you died. You had to do corpse runs. There wasn't instances. It was a hardcore MMO, and I'm yearning for another one like that.
Yeah.
I have fun with WoW and all these other kiddie ones. But I'm yearning for something a little more hardcore.
Goddamn, he just said exactly everything I've ever thought. And I also have another theory on video games on a side note that I already put out there. You always run into I break guys into two categories. Guys that are into sports or guys that are into video games. You have some crossover there. Chad is both. But you either play video games or you don't. And this is my whole theory. I go back to the root of it. Did you play Legend of Zelda? And a lot of, I would say 80%. Is yes. Like, if you played Legend of Zelda, you're a video gamer for life. Like, if you beat Legend of Zelda or Link, and if you never got that on the Nintendo, everybody had Nintendo. Everybody you'll ever meet in our age group had Nintendo. So if you played Legend of Zelda, you're kind of a gamer for life. And like, dude, I've asked a lot of people this question, and it seems to pan out. Because that game, I mean...
So that's a deciding factor?
Yeah, pretty much. It's the if you look at a lot of lists, it's the number one video game of all time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I guess I'm not a gamer then because I've never played it.
See, I don't know. I know a lot
of people... Get off my podcast, sir.
I'm sorry.
A lot of people play those old Nintendo games, but you know they get older and they get into other things. I was actually at my parents like 2 weeks ago and they're cleaning out the garage and they gave me a box that had my old Nintendo in it. And it had one game, and that game was Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to all my...
Gold cartridge?
Cold cartridge, yep.
I don't know what happened to all my other games, but I took it to work, and I hooked it up, and, like, it took a while to get the thing working, but it worked, man.
Wow.
I was playing Legend of Zelda with that little... Dude, that controller is so much smaller than I remember.
No, for sure.
But, yeah, dude, that was a great...
You might be a little bit larger than the last time you've held the controller.
I'm way larger.
I was... My favorite Nintendo game, River City Ransom. That game we played
that was a good one.
To death. Like, again and again and again. See, you're not a true gamer.
Oh, okay,
River
yeah.
City Ransom. It's one where you punch the guys and the coins just, like, pop out everywhere.
Yeah.
But, hey, dude, while we're on
PC
the
PC Gaming Podcast, by the way, bring it back to the...
Hey, well, wait for my transition.
Oh, right?
A great
sorry.
Segue there. Speaking of old Nintendo games, like Battletoads... Double Dragon.
Double Dragon, okay.
Double Dragon. I'm talking about those brawler, beat-em-up genre games. Double Dragon Neon came out recently, and I picked it up because I was a huge Double Dragon fan. I really loved those games.
Can't stand that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude,
cannot
that,
stand
that big guy comes out and punches your girlfriend in the stomach, dude. No.
Yeah.
Or maybe you. And then takes your girl. Anyway.
Yeah, something like that.
And it's like, wow. It's not still your princess. She just came and took a blonde guy's girlfriend. So the blonde guy's got to get crazy and beat up a bunch of black guys.
I cannot stand that.
I don't think that's how it went down.
That's how I remember it.
Okay.
Are the guys blonde or not?
One of them's blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
Billy
it's like
Jenny
Ken and
Lee.
Ryu in alter egos.
No, one of them's blonde. One has like reddish hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So ginger.
I don't know.
There wasn't a Mexican one. I'm pretty sure that.
No, I'm saying brownish. All the guys they beat up were Mexican or black.
I don't think so.
So this new one.
This new one's great, man. I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's got great artistic design, and I say that about like all these games. But it had like an animated yet 3D kind of look to it. Totally 80s out, man. Just like the soundtrack and just like everything about it. Had just this really good aesthetic to it. And the controls felt a little bit clunky, which is weird.
Even on the controller?
Yeah, but I got used to it. These games are like that, though. You know, in those beat-em-up games where, like, you're trying to punch a guy, but you're just a little too low. And so, like, you're whiffing right past him. It happens all the time. It's annoying. But, no, it was a good game.
How long was it?
I think I spent about 5 hours.
And how much
did you spend? You're about to beat it, right?
No, I beat it. Okay. But it does have a little more playability. The interesting thing about it is the co-op. You can it's pretty easy to join a game with somebody, but it's completely anonymous. You can't communicate with the guy that you're playing with at all. You can't type.
That doesn't sound fun. I would rather be on Skype for sure.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, if you queue up randomly with someone, then you have no way of communicating with them. Like,
can you do it by your friends list? You must be.
Oh yeah, interested. Yeah, okay. You can. But it's really weird to play a game like
that.
What'd
you pay? Like 15?
No, it's $10. Wasn't on sale when it came out, but yeah, $10. I think it was worth it.
So 5 hours of gameplay for $10.
I'll play more of it, though. I think it's worth it. I'm probably going to play more because you can level up.
I'd play that. One day when we're like, what are we going to play? Yeah. Pick up for $10 for sure.
Well, they think that there's a guide online that says that it has 16 levels, yet there were only 10 levels in the game, so they're expecting kind of an expansion to it. I don't know. That's the rumor, but I don't know if that'll happen. But, I would totally play more of it. What they do is they give you, it's your standard beat-em-up game, but you can pick a stance, which gives you, like, more magic power or defense or hit points, you know. So you can choose kind of a play style based on that, and you get to switch around between your special move, and you can level each of those up. So you can go through the levels just to level those up and then go to the harder levels.
So a little more depth.
Yeah, there's a little more depth. But, I mean, I think that brings up an interesting topic here. Like, do you guys like those kind of games? Because this is like a specific genre that I always buy on Steam, and I think, yes, I'm going to play the hell out of this game, and then I never really do.
But you did on this one.
On this one I did, but there have been other games like Fist Puncher and Foul Play.
Fist Puncher I have on my iPhone, and I love it.
Oh, you do?
It's a lot of fun, yeah. Yeah. But besides the other ones, I don't know, man. I was just going to say that with all the depth that you were talking about, it kind of sounds like Altered Beast to me.
Oh, yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah, yeah. Sega Genesis. How cool was that, right? Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Yeah. Altered Beast! But, no, in general, it's tough because where would you... Guacamelee, where would you put that? In this?
No.
Right? That's a side-scroller.
Yeah.
God, yeah, it's a puzzle platform.
I just finished Guacamelee, by the way.
I think the last... one of this style that I played probably was River City Ransom.
Oh, yeah.
Wow!
Yeah.
You played Final Fight?
No, I don't think...
With Cody
with Hagar? Or
yeah,
whatever?
Hagar, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I've seen it in the...
Well, you're talking about console games. I mean, I feel like there's been a lot of PC games that have come out recently, like Xbox Live games, too. Castle Crashers was probably the most famous one in this genre, but I feel like there's...
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Castle Crashers. And that one really did have depth because you had to level up your character. You could get all sorts of different kinds of
weapons. Golden Axe, maybe?
Because it was back... Well, Golden Axe was Sega Genesis.
Right, but it was back in the day and it was...
No, Castle Crashers?
Yeah.
That was on Xbox Live, like, maybe 2000, what, 10?
But it's a side-scroller and beat-em-up with
axes. It's not a side-scroller, though. It's a beat-em-up. It's an isometric.
Oh, okay.
You know what?
So you can go up and you can go down and left and right.
I got you.
And yeah, you can change your weapon. You can level up your magic, your defense, your speed, or your attack power. Like, there's a lot of things there at play that you can alternate between, and you can choose different knights to play as. So, and they have different abilities.
So, real quick, like, I like to get into Bobby's head. When I saw I was watching the video for Double Dragon Neon. I was like, Bobby's going to be all over this shit.
He loves the 80s.
Then I click on it. After I saw the video, I click on my friends who recently bought Bobby Digital. Double Dragon.
Six times, right? Yeah. Just to make sure he bought it.
Somebody else bought it on my friends list, actually. Oh, yeah. My friends list is growing because of this podcast. Thanks, fellas.
Mine is special. Not. Yeah. I'm Flopsy with an asterisk if anybody wants to friend me.
Good luck with that.
Wow, that sounds desperate.
Yeah.
Friend me.
Well, he'll slow you.
Trust me. As my Steam level has been going up, I've noticed that I've been like getting some friends that way. People have been hitting me up for
trades.
What
is your Steam level now?
It's 83.
I'm close. I think I'm 6.
Okay. Maybe you get 12. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
Doing all right. But yeah, a lot of people have been friending me for trades and shit. So that's cool. I really enjoy the Steam trading game, even though a lot of people like do not even check it out whatsoever.
I have no idea what it is.
I know. I try to trade people cards and they have no idea what's happening. Like, people on my friends list. Me. Totally confused.
Me, I just traded somebody some, and I was like, whatever. Oh, I sold them to him for like $1, because he messaged me, and I was like,
What'd you sell him?
I forget what it was. I didn't care.
It was probably worth way more than $1 if the guy was offering him
$1. Yeah. You put those on the market, and you can sell them, and some cards go for quite a bit.
Right after that $1 that I put in my sleazy pocket, I was like, ooh, that was probably worth a lot more to Bobby.
Just look it up in the market. You can see it.
Bobby already has that. I pretty much guarantee it.
Yeah. Well, you know, another interesting thing about Steam, I got to stop saying interesting. I overuse that word way too fucking much.
Maybe there's a lot of interesting things that
go on.
You're
really interesting, dude.
Well, what's another word that means interesting but isn't interesting?
Intriguing.
Intriguing. Another intriguing thing about Steam.
Unusual.
Have you guys seen this new tag thing they're doing for games?
Huh.
Steam users can tag games. Okay. Just kind of like go on. So you find a game and you just put a tag on it, and the most popular tags that people apply to it get shown at the top. So if you go to a store page on any game on Steam right now, it'll show you the most popular tags. And because they just implemented this a few days ago, at first there were some really weird tags. I mean, obviously there's the standard ones, like people put like co-op or single player.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah, just like
tags. Like the way porn sites work.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You put all these tags on them?
No? I guess.
Yeah, no,
yeah, yeah, right?
I'm understanding.
Yeah, yeah. Double anal, double
Let's not
H.
go down the, that rabbit hole, all right? This will take a real bad direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, so users can tag it. So like, I saw some really weird ones at first, like indie shit and This Game Ruined My Life, Half-Life 3 Confirmed, and Not a Game. So I've noticed as the days have gone by, like the more popular tags have kind of risen to the top, and they're the ones that you would expect. Oh, another weird one I saw was like a white male protagonist.
Okay.
So you can go in and you can search for white male protagonist, and all the games that people have tagged for that will show up. So,
every game ever?
Yeah, there's a lot of them, dude. I looked it up.
Yeah. Except for the ones that have Japanese ones. Japanese and
there were some Japanese ones with a white male protagonist. Yeah, there you go.
Juan. You can't get even more Mexican than that.
Except maybe Emilio.
Juan? Come on.
That's what we need. That is what we need. But yeah, so they have the tagging thing going on, and also they have this new For You tab, not tag, but tab, at the top of Steam, which I checked out, and it's basically a bunch of recommendations of games based on what you or your friends have played, bought, or wishlisted.
So basically for you, it's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what I like about this?
No, they're searching in the barrel trying to find anything he hasn't bought yet.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what
can we make more money off this guy? He's paying everything.
Give him 1% off. He'll buy it.
Dude, I feel like Steam is trying to like get me sometimes. Just like 25% off. I'm just like, I'm going to hold out.
Honestly, I feel like they probably put one person. They pay him minimum wage just to sell you things.
They're just hitting you
and
up.
Hitting a profit. They're making a profit. They're paying him $7 an hour. You're spending about $50 a week. It's working out.
Dude, there are a lot of people out there like me that do the exact same thing, though.
No, said somebody had a Steam level of like 200 and something.
Oh, the highest I've seen is 230.
Jeez.
Yeah, 230. I've seen a 220.
What was his name? Gabe Newell or something?
No, it's Sneer something. It's a French guy, I think. Wow. But yeah, dude, there are people that are up there. But this For You tab, the one thing that I like about it the most is it shows your friend. It shows the games that have the most hours on them from you or your friends list. So if I look at mine, like it'll be like Team Fortress 2. Your friends have played like this many hours of it. That's at
crazy
the top.
Amount, right?
Yeah, for sure. Ton. Or I think it might even do it just by week or by month or something like that. I don't think it's like the entire time that they played. But yeah, so it shows you what your friends have been playing a lot, which is great. You know, I want to get on those games that like other people are playing.
So Rust must be
a lot of Rust, a lot of Rust. But it's your friends list too, so it's not everybody. But yeah, it's a cool little tab. I like that they're still doing stuff to Steam to
improve it. These things that he brings up every week. Never saw him.
Yeah.
I feel like
he's in the beta.
Dude, you guys
use Steam every day.
Yeah.
You know, I am in the Steam beta, though, because of the in-stream, in-home streaming. I get Steam updates, like, every other day now because of that.
And you haven't said anything, any update on that, by the way?
It's good. They've made a few improvements. I don't use it that much. The only time I ever use it is with the laptop, and that was just to test it out. I do like being able to log into Steam on my laptop and my desktop at the same time without one logging itself off. That's cool. But, yeah, I don't have much use for that kind of thing. I'm just doing it just to kind of test it.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to bring up the Humble Bundle that's up right now. It's only up for another 2 days, so by the time you guys listen to this it might be close to ending.
The last day, probably.
Yeah. The reason I bring it up is it's the Sid Meier Humble Bundle, and the reason I bring this up is I've never played a Sid Meier game.
Wow.
And I know both of you guys
have. Get off my podcast,
Sarah. I know both of you guys have. So, it's got Civ 3 and Civ 4, Ace Patrol and the Ace Patrol expansion, and Railroads is for the base package. And then if you spend a certain amount, which I think it was like $4.99, you get almost all of Civ 5. And then if you spend $15, you get the latest expansion from Civ 5 as well. That's so the question I have is, never playing a Civilization game, is it worth picking up this bundle to play? And would you recommend the Civ 3 and 4 and even 5 in today's player, would you recommend it right now?
Bobby, go ahead.
Yeah, I absolutely would. Civ 5 was the first Sid Meier game I ever played, and I loved it, man. I really got into that one. And I don't really go for those types of games, but this was a really fun game. Had great support for NVIDIA 3D Vision 2, which was cool. And I have all the expansions, like all the little add-ons to that, except for Brave New World, which is the newest one.
That's the one that was $15. Yeah.
And I bought Civ 5 and all the add-ons for $12.50, I think, on a Steam sale. And Brave New World was like, I think I have that on my wish list still, but I don't know how much they were charging for it.
The one that has the, like, Islanders? I think it adds Islanders. And
they redid, Venice? Shit out there. Or they redid one, or brought in a new city that's, like, completely based on gold.
Florence.
Was it Florence?
I'm pretty sure it's Florence, yeah. Because they were a central hub. They were almost like their own country.
Yeah, you can't expand it. Or you have to like play it in a very different style than you would the other games.
Because they have no military. Or,
different other cultures. Yeah.
And Ace Patrol and Railroads? Is that
never heard of either one of those.
Nope, never heard
of it. Okay, and what do you think? I mean, of
so, Civ 5 was like the 500-pound gorilla when it was coming down the tracks, you know. Everybody was talking about like Sid Meier's new game, Civ 5. And I had played Civ 2. Maybe three, one of the two. And I enjoyed it at the time, and it was, you know, a strategy game. But then I played that, and Civ 5 when it came out, I bought it. And I bought it at full price because, man, so much hype around it.
Yeah.
And for me, I felt like I was playing an RTS without any of the micromanaging, which sounds great. But the games went on way too long. Like, to play one Civ game was over an hour versus a PC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounds really cool because, you know, you have to spread out and gain all these cubes. And then you research new stuff. And then you could push America and beat the French because you've been researching more. And if you get to space first...
Is well, one of the ways. There's several ways to beat.
If you get
the
to space, yeah, you any of the you can go. You can be. You can win culturally, technologically, militarily. You can win a lot of ways, but it just took too long for me. It was too slow of a game for me. I guess.
Well, did so you
I
was play single down player?
And I regretted paying my $50. I think
$50 is pretty high for that game. But did you play single player or multiplayer with that?
I played single only.
Okay.
And then that was enough to detract me from multiplayer. I was like, I wouldn't enjoy this against another person.
Yeah, but that's $50. If you had that same deal for $5 right now, would you do it?
Yeah, I think so, because I guess so, because I played 2 full nights. Like, I played it all night, 2 nights. So, you know, that's 8 hours or so.
That's one of those games that you start playing, and then, like, time just flies, because it's like one more turn, one more turn. Yeah, and if it's any sign of how good this game is, that game is always in, like, the top 10 or top 5. I don't know if it's the top 5, but at least always the top 10 of most users playing the game. You know, if you click on that graph when you log into Steam, you can see like how many people are playing each game. It's always like Dota 2 with like a million people, and then it's like TF2, Football Manager, and Civ 5 is always on that list.
Apparently we have to get on Football Manager.
Yeah
dude, that game is huge for some reason.
Which football are they talking about? They're talking about soccer.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. Yeah. Are you sure?
No, I'm 100% sure, yeah.
This is not Football Americana?
No.
Football.
This is people using their feet to kick a ball and not people running. So, yeah.
Well, soccer is the biggest sport.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's globally. The only reason that it's up there.
Yeah, FIFA's huge, too, man. That's a big
thing. Steam's all over the place. You know, different countries, there's French Steam, Steam, you know.
Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took some French in high school, so.
Lestine. Like it. I might call it Lestine.
Yeah, it sounds great.
With a little, like, accent over the E or something like that. You know?
Well, did you want to talk about LOL at all, or?
Not really, but go ahead.
So, we decided that we were going to play League of Legends this week. We played Dota 2. Didn't have a ton of fun with it, but we had a little bit of fun. Bobby didn't have any fun, but so we were going to try League of Legends out. So Emilio and I successfully tried a little bit of League of Legends out. Bobby decided this week wasn't exactly his week.
Successfully against whom,
sir? Against bots. So apparently you can't even play against players unless you're level 5 at League of Legends, which... Right. Is very, very frustrating to me as the not expert, but as the experienced MOBA player. I don't want to play against bots.
I booted up that game, it asked me, are you an RTS player or are you experienced? There were like maybe 4 or 5 options.
Yeah.
So do you think it was based off of that?
No,
doesn't change it.
Because I clicked the most expert one, and it's... And I looked up, because I was not happy at all. So I looked online, and yeah, there's, as far as I'm aware, and let me know if I'm incorrect, but as far as I'm aware, you have to be level 5 to play. So Emilio and I got in 4 or 5 games, but always against bots. We had human players on our team, but we were playing against human bots. And we played an intermediate match and got stomped so hard, so then we went back down to beginner.
Who knew that we were playing against Skydeck?
yeah, seriously.
Wow, so the bots beat you. How long does it take to get to level
5? Well,
our
team members, too, were just like,
oh, yeah.
run in, try to kill, die, run in, try to, under there the was, towers.
We played a beginner match where the guy died before the... before the lane creeps spawned, because he just ran to the...
He just ran looking for kills.
He ran to the tower and just started whacking on the tower.
Yeah.
That's the level of play.
That's not how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. No. So, I've played League of Legends before. I'm not an expert in any means. I think I'm currently at, like, level 14 or something. But I created a new one to jump in with Emilio. But, Emilio, what... You hadn't really played a whole lot before.
So what's your thoughts? Hell of a lot easier than Dota 2 to understand. It's WASD keys and all the...
No, not WASD. WE, you know, it's the top row.
Oh, it's the top row. But then everything underneath that does that. Too. So it's all the buttons that you're used to. And I, you know, like if you're typing. So each one of them had something that they did. And Bobby, you know how you get actives in Smite?
Mm-hmm.
So you get those automatically without having to pay any money. You get to pick them beforehand.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So, I got one that healed myself. But, I mean, the cooldown on them are
like
5 minutes.
4 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so you get two of those.
They're oh shit buttons. That's what they are. That's
yeah, pretty much.
Exactly what they're
supposed to be. I told myself, because I always try to go with the Crary, the, you know, the... I like to kill people. But today, for this game, I said, I'm going to be support. That's it. So I went to hardcore support. You know what her name is?
Soraka.
Soraka, yeah. So all she does is heal. Basically, her damage is negligible.
She's got one damage ability, and it's like a little AoE.
Yeah, it
doesn't do much.
And she gives mana to her teammates. So I was like, okay, I'm going to play this. And she was really easy to learn. And, I mean, we're playing against bots, so we could talk about this all day. But Chad was raping. I was supporting him.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all it was.
And then two guys, one guy would be gone by level two because he died four times to the tower. One guy would continuously die to his lane.
Real players.
Yeah, one guy would die to his lane. And me and Amita would just own
push
a lane.
All the lanes.
And then sweep around and kill all the other lanes. And
so it's hard to say, really.
So had you some competent teammates, you think you would have been able to win?
Well, we won every time.
The question,
oh, you did. Yeah.
Except that one,
except for the one
intermediate. But the thing is, we don't know how good the game is because we haven't gotten to level 5, so we can't play against real players.
But as far
players.
As like basic understanding, it's a lot easier than
what did game. You think? So, obviously, Dota 2, the graphics are really good. But
League of Legends have the worst graphics of any MMO I've ever seen.
Not MMO, MOBA.
Any MOBA that I've ever seen.
But my take on it is, I don't want good graphics in my MOBA because I need to be able to see who I'm playing against and see the lane partners and see the individual characters that I'm fighting against. So my take on graphics is, I think Dota 2's graphics, intense graphics, actually detract from the game. And I think that they also detract from the player base because you can only really play Dota 2 if you've got a decent rig. You know, if you've got... whereas League of Legends, you can play that on a 386 or something like that.
Well, that might be one of the reasons why this is one of the most played games. It's just so completely accessible. Anybody...
Similar to WoW. Like, WoW, you don't need a very good machine. I can play it on my work PC. Similar to that, I think, you know, League of Legends, just, you can play it on anything. So, the graphics, while I think will detract from the edge users, the ones that really want those high level of graphics, I think also enables it to have that huge player base that it does.
Well, a game like this isn't reliant on really good graphics. It's more about the gameplay.
Yeah.
So, it's not necessary to have really good graphics for this. So you can't play against other people till you're level 5.
Yeah.
How long does it take to get you to level 5?
So we played... So basically, probably you get half a level a game. So you're probably going to have to play 10 games or so to get to level 5.
And how long are the matches? Is it like Smite? You're talking 30, 35 minutes per match?
Something like that. Yeah, you're talking about 30 to 35. It takes... You can't quit until the 20-minute mark. So
really,
yeah. So these are not insignificant timelines for these type of games.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that really bothers me about League of Legends, and I didn't know it bothered me till I started playing Dawngate. So during the whole picking stage, and you know, selecting abilities, and you know, selecting the costume that you're going to use. That's all dead time, and the game can be preloading, as Dawngate does. What Dawngate does is it preloads the game while you're selecting characters and doing all that stuff, because that's like a minute to 2 minutes of time right there.
More so, maybe.
Yeah. And so when Dawngate's all through with that, you're in the game and playing. When we're playing League of Legends, after you've done
still
all that...
Still matchmaking.
Yeah. You're sitting for another 2 minutes just staring at a load screen,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And one time we had a guy that must have, his machine must have crashed or whatever. We were sitting there, what, 3-4 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
And before we finally got into a game.
Although the queue times, there is no queue times.
Yeah.
You click, boom, you're in a game. But no, not in a game. You're in matchmaking, you're in character selection.
Yeah.
So you guys can't really speak to the matchmaking just yet since you haven't been.
So we're
going
to hopefully continue to play. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get to level 5. I'm hoping Bobby will too. So we're going to get to level 5, we're going to play against some actual people, and we're going to let you guys know what it's like playing against actual people.
So if you guys have been listening, you know that I'm the douchebag of the group. And it's hard to be a douchebag and a support. So, like, Chad's tearing shit up. It's like,
fucking, I was playing Darius most of the time.
First of all, you guys are phrasing that in the worst way. You're just like, Chad is just raping people and I'm supporting him. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
I jiggle the balls. I jiggle the balls. Why?
Out of context. He's violating.
I jiggle the balls. So it's like, what's the top thing, top honor that the girl says?
Legendary.
Legendary. Legendary. Chad is legendary or whatever.
Flopsy is legendary.
Legendary. And I'm just tossing heels. And I'm trying to be my douche by itself, so I'm like, yeah, healing from downtown. And like, oh, that's just because of me, but it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I'm trying to get a little bit of glory, even though he's staying in the fight way longer because of what I do. All I do is give him mana and health. But I'm not doing anything. You can't miss. Yeah. So, yeah. No glory. Although I do hit a minion. So
you found out a way to miss with those.
That's true.
Well, what do you think? Did you have... So, you had more fun than Dota and less fun than Smite. Is that...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Is that the accurate...
Here's the thing about Smite. It's like, you know, you get into lane and you got the 2v2. Everybody, you know, that classic 2v2 matchup.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. That's most of what people are going to be playing.
Yeah.
Especially early on. That's the most common lane. So you got the 2v2 going on.
The V is for versus.
The action starts right away. If somebody makes a mistake, not even makes a mistake.
Are we talking in League or are we talking Smite?
I'm talking Smite.
Okay.
People go in. People go in early, they go in hard. And when you're playing this, it's more of a war of attrition.
Yeah.
I keep running into this with this top-down stuff. So I got somebody that was made to just hang forever. That's all she does is hang out. And, you know, whatever. We're playing against bots. But against Smite, you know, I feel like somebody's going to make a move. Especially against Sobek or somebody that, or Ymir, they're gonna make a move, you know? And these other ones, they'll make a move, but it's so many harass, you know? It's more about, like, who can hang out longer without getting hit too much, and then they have to go back.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's all.
I agree 100%. Like, Smite, like, right off the bat, there's danger. Like, yeah. you can get ganked at level 1 or 2, you know? Like, you can die at level 1 or 2. Right now, it felt like League or Dota, it didn't feel like that immediate danger.
Sure. Yeah.
How many playable characters are in this? Are we talking a lot?
I heard there's like a ton. Over 100, I think.
Well, you can't pick them right away because it's not like Dota 2 where they're all available.
So they've got the free-to-play that rotates, and then you can... All the characters you can buy with IP, which is influence points, which you earn, or RP, which I think is riot points, which you can buy. So you can buy characters or you can earn them. But there's obviously no option to buy them all or whatever. You got to buy them individually.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Well, more on League of Legends next week, I guess. Hopefully I'll be able to get into this.
He's just going to hate it like he hates everything.
I don't know. I think I'll have some fun with it. We'll see.
I think this will be your favorite top-down because it is so...
Simple?
It's simple. Well, not that, but it takes away a lot of the elements of the top-down. You know, like, you're clicking and you're fighting without having to worry about a ton of other stuff.
I guess. Not as much as Dota 2, for sure.
Yeah.
On a side note, I was like, how many players do they have?
30-plus million,
I thought. You're going to have to take off about 10 million of that. Because I logged in today with an email that is not real. It wasn't verified. So I was like, this is my fake email. And they gave me an account. They didn't send me a verification email to check if it was real. It was just like, here's my new...
Smite does the same thing.
No, dude. You get verified.
No, they don't verify.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they do not verify.
I'm
weird. They just, I don't know, they want as many accounts as possible, I guess.
I guess so. But that makes me feel like you could do whatever you want, get any kind of reputation, just make a new account.
Well, yeah, but it sounds like there's a little bit of building up to it. Like, if you make a new account, you got to spend, like, what are we talking, a couple hours just getting to level 5 so you can play other people.
Yeah, but if you were to ask how many level 5 accounts they have, it's probably not 30 million, you know? Maybe it's 10 million.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those
are... So the numbers
are,
could be padded.
Yeah.
Which, sure. Totally believable.
So what are we getting into next?
Let's talk about Evolve.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of information came out about Evolve this week. The first videos of gameplay came out. Their trailer. Did you guys see the trailer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the trailer.
So, okay trailer, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. High-res CGI.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Yeah, you can't,
it's not gameplay. Like it's just...
It's not gameplay.
Okay.
But gameplay did come out. But let me get into the trailer first. Their song on that fucking trailer is fucking awesome. It's Mother. Mother. Yeah. But it's by a girl. It's like a re...
Danzig, right? Is the original?
Yes.
Yeah.
But somebody covered it. And it was a girl who covered it. It was a great song. And pretty cool trailer, you know. Nothing exceptional, but pretty cool. The song stuck out. But besides that, okay. This is what I got out of everything that I read into Evolve this week. So, the monster can evolve 3 times. So, originally, he starts off kind of like smaller than the hunters. He's like smaller than human.
Like dog size? Or
Something like that. Okay. Or maybe just like a midget size.
Okay. So, like sorry dog for all size. The midgets.
But anyway, so he runs around and he tries to kill like mobs, I guess, you know, just like
he's PvE.
NPCs. He's PvE.
Okay.
But the hunters have ways to track him, right? So he's got to be real sneaky about it, especially when he's evolving. When you've eaten enough, you can evolve, right? But you stay still for a long time. So now you go up to 10 feet tall. Now, you know, you might, if one hunter goes off on his own, you might be able to take him out. Now it's kind of like tug of war. But if the hunter keeps going and keeps eating these NPCs, he can go to level 3. Now he's 30 feet tall. And he's a fucking King Kong. And not like fucking really slow. Like agile, jumping, rolling, dodging, 30 feet tall.
Hmm.
You know, doing just swinging from fucking limbs and shit. Really fast, really strong, and scary. And another cool, really cool thing about this is the monster is different on every level that you play it on. And none of the levels are linear. So they're all like a sphere. And you just start randomly. Hunters get together and start hunting. You know? There's no like lane that they go there. Like Left 4 Dead 2, where it was, this is the way we go and there might be some breaks. No. This is a big thing.
It's like a sandbox.
It's kind of, I guess, but you're not farming or doing anything that you want. You're hunting. That's all you're doing.
So, is it permadeath? Is that how it works? Like, it's one round?
I don't know anything. That's interesting. I saw like 3 or 4, like, because they flew in a lot of people to come play this game. And none of them really commented on what happens when a hunter dies. It sounds like it should be permadeath.
Yeah, right? Like, is the point of the monster's trying to kill the 4 and the 4 are trying to kill the 1? Is that kind of like...
Exactly.
So, the monster's trying to pick them off one by one, unless he gets big enough that he can take them all on?
Actually, just to shed some light on Evolve, the way they write it is 4 letters, then the letter V is in red, and then the E is in white. 4V1. You get it?
Yes. Okay.
Sneaky there. That's what V means, Bobby.
And the that's 4 is love backwards. Think about
nobody
it.
Nobody cares about it.
Okay.
I'm reading too much into it now.
Sorry.
I think this game, like its core concept, is very innovative. It's something very new. So I'm really hoping that they follow through on the execution, and it's a good game.
They're behind Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, I read. So
yeah, and those were great. And I remember watching gameplay footage before that game came out and showing all my friends, and I was just so excited about that game.
Stupid zombies. I can't stand that.
Well, I mean, this was before the whole zombie thing was played out, so it was kind of...
Oh, you were into it before it was cool? Goddamn.
Oh, yeah, man. I used to love, like, the old Night of the Living Dead movies and shit like that.
Zombies was played out when they were created.
No, they were cool for a while, but I think Walking Dead just kind of killed it.
Chad, did you ever get into Left 4 Dead 2? Or 1?
I can't get into anything involving zombies.
See, you're being racist.
No.
Or wait, speciesist?
Who knows what they are?
Yeah. No, zombies are terrible. I can't stand them.
I don't know. It could have been anything in that game. It was just fun just to mow down so many baddies. All
right, so in the same light, so Valve is the publisher for Turtle Rock, and Turtle Rock made... that game, Evolve, and it also made... No. Yes?
No, yeah, okay. Yeah, they did.
And it also made Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. So Turtle Rock made it. Valve helped them, and they were the publishers. I trust Valve. I trust everything that Valve does. And I've always been about developers. Like, okay, so I know that anything that Blizzard does is going to be good because it's really well thought out and whatever. Everybody knows Blizzard is good.
Yeah.
They're a great developer. They're also their own publishers. But also, there's publishers that only pick up good shit. Like, they will not publish just anything that comes out. Say, I can't think of anything right now. Maybe, like, Eidos has a questionable background where they pick up, you know, they put out some crappy shit. Mm-hmm. Now, 2K Studios, pretty good checklist, you know? So maybe there's something, okay, maybe you can invest in somebody who invests. Like, I can dig what this guy likes, or these guys like, and everything they've put out I've liked, because this is new to me. It just came to me this week that I can trust a publisher and a developer. And if those couple up, a developer, and I know I'm going to buy it on day one. What do you guys think?
I think to relate it back to you is I think the publisher would be the equivalent of like Marvel or a DC or an Image. Like, I like Marvel better than DC, but there's still shit Marvel comics that come out. You know, like, they have they've got a stable, so not right. Everything that's going to come out is good,
right.
But on the whole, you know, I'm a Marvel guy compared to a DC for guy, sure. So I think what most people need to understand is that there's a lot of groups involved in making video games, and you should do your research when you go to buy games if you're spending $60 on a game. Like, if you value your money and you're spending $60 on a game, you should see who the publisher is, and you should see who else they've published, and you should see who the developer is, and you should see what else they've done. Like, these are like the author of a book or the director of a movie. Like, their stamp is on these games, and I think most gamers see the flash and the glitter and don't look behind that, but these are all being created by groups and peoples and individuals and companies, and I think it's important for them to look at all those.
I wish I had a better idea of what a publisher does and what a developer does. I actually have an article bookmark that I've been meaning to read. I found it like maybe a day or two ago, but it really lays out, like, in the production of a game, this is what the publisher handles. This is what the developer is responsible for. And it looks pretty interesting because, yeah, it's like if you trust a development studio, then, you know, if you've found one that you really like, then you get a lot of good games out of that.
To break it down as simply as, and back me up, Chad, if I'm right or not.
Mm-hmm.
The developer is the artist and the publisher is the gallery.
Yes. To put it in book terms, the developer would be the author, and the publisher would be the book publisher.
The editor.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. So, the publisher is basically the money. And studios like Valve that are both developer and publisher are both the money and the talent. So, the publisher has authority because they control the money. So, they can make decisions such as, we're cutting online, or this game needs to be shorter, or we need to go as a teen rating, or
except for when they're going with a developer that is trusted. This is like, do whatever you want.
Exactly. But they've got to be signed into those contracts.
Right.
Yeah. But what it really comes down to is the developer is trying to push it as the artist, as, you know, as the one that's creating this, and whether or not the publisher allows them to do that.
Well, the publisher, like, if you have a bigger one that has more resources, it probably allows the developer to do more things.
Or
as far as getting out there.
Or it's rigid and such as like an EA or something, which has specific things that need to happen in their games, or they have target markets that they have to hit. So publishers also involve marketing. So if marketing says, "Hey, we need this to be teen for this and this reason," now the developer who is making a mature rated game suddenly has to make a teen rated game.
Here, awesome! You guys made an amazing game. Guess what? I don't have anything to put on a poster. I don't have anything to put online that's going to look cool.
Yeah.
I need some artwork. You guys don't even have a main hero. You know what I mean? So, just for an example, Like, you could come up with an amazing puzzle game. How are you going to promote that? It's tough, you know? Yeah. And that's always the argument between business and art.
But going back to what you were saying, I think the good games that come out with the publishers allow the developers to do what they need to do. So in that respect, I agree with you. There are good publishers, and they allow the developers to do what they want to do.
Or just pick up projects that they believe in.
Correct.
From the beginning.
Correct, yeah.
A Y2 game, that's why, because I saw something that come out of Y2 game, and I was like, wow, you know what, I've liked all their games, so, you know, maybe I can jump on this.
There's a publisher, man, that is the worst. 505 Games, I think it is.
I don't know, I don't pick up $5 games like you do. $5 or 5 cent games.
Check out on Steam, look up like 505 Games. They have like the worst games. Like if you have a really crappy game that's unfinished and you want to like try to make a buck off it, just hit these guys up, man. They have the worst. But the reason I found this article that I mentioned earlier was because I was searching a question about music that I had, like whose responsibility is it to get the rights to a song for a game? Is it the publisher or the developer? Because sometimes when you're playing a game, there's a song in there that is not original. It wasn't made for that game. Like Battlefield 4, at the very beginning, they have Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. You know, they'll just take these really famous tracks, or, you know, even like GTA 5 does not have some like famous music.
GTA's always have.
They just take the hits and they put them in the game. And I'm like, well, how do they get the rights to that? Whose responsibility is that? But speaking of music, I still can't even land a segue like that.
No, it was so good. I ruined it.
We were so good.
You're just like,
we were too excited for it. Good.
But yeah, so no, the reason I was searching these questions about games is because I put that list together about like a lot of the songs that I've really enjoyed in games. I put a YouTube video out. Check it out. It's Robert Digital Games is the channel. The video is, I think, favorite songs from PC games or something.
Yep,
real
that's
generic.
Exactly it.
Yeah, but it's the list that I put on the website. A few alterations, few additions, and I made
you
a video.
You put the portal on.
Yeah,
that.
Portal's on there. Dragonborn from Skyrim is on the list. But it's got some footage of the games with the track being played. And, you know, it's like an 8-minute video that I think really sums up just some real quality music in games. And again, like I specify that I chose these songs because they were original. Because they really like...
The developer probably came up with them. They had to have them.
They really fit the game somehow. You know, the only exception is the Assassin's Creed one. That's actually an old Irish ballad, but they redid it with like kind of this pirate motif. Like if you look up Celtic Thunder, Star of the County Down, it's a completely different song.
Which most people do.
Yeah. You know, you guys know this song.
I've been
listening
to it the whole time in my headphones.
Yeah, but if you listen to that version, like okay, that's the traditional Irish one that has a very specific sound, and then you listen to the Assassin's Creed one, which I actually like better. It sounds way more like a shanty, like that pirates would be singing. So
isn't there a mini game within, like getting your pirates to yell the right shit?
Oh, you got to capture one of the items that you can get are shanties. So yeah, you run around the cities and you capture those, and then it gives more songs that your crew can sing while you're sailing.
Have you beat that game yet?
No, still working on it.
Okay, it's been about over a month. We're waiting for that.
We should just name the podcast Assassin's Creed 4 podcast with other stuff involved.
Still, you know, I was thinking that if, you know, once EQ Next comes out and we all love it, this might...
Wait, hold on. The chances of us liking
all
this...
loving it?
Any of us liking it. I mean, not to rain on your parade, but the chance of EQ Next being awesome is slim. I'm sorry.
How about 100%?
I'm sorry.
Besides what you're saying, we might morph this into the EQ Next podcast. I'm just saying, that's how good it might be.
Dude, I don't care how good a game is, I could not talk about it every single week, man.
I don't know. You guys were on Smite for like 7 months, I couldn't get you guys off of it. Like, I tried. I tried really hard.
You know,
and
you go
guys,
through some phases.
You guys were sucking the cock of Smite.
Well, you know, every now and then you run into a good game that you want to hang on to, but I think it's time to let go.
You guys got anything else?
I'm all good.
I'm all out.
All right.
All right, let's wrap it up. This has been another episode of Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. You can check us out at dlgaming.net, Steam group DL Gaming. Hit us up if you want a game. Friday night seemed to be the night, so we get a lot of gaming in that night. I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can check us out on there. You can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Let us know what you think. Any suggestions, anything that you want to hear about, we would love to hear from you. And also, check out my YouTube channel. God, I hate plugging so much shit, man.
Whatever. It's all free.
Yeah.
You're plugging free shit.
Why not? Yeah, the YouTube channel, Robert Digital Games. Or actually, you know, check out my Steam profile, because I put all my videos on there anyway. All right. So, yeah, that's it. Bye.
Later.
See ya. Titties.